Rush into Old Navy today for up to 50% off store-wide. Get dresses from $15 for women, $12 for girls, plus up to 75% off clearance for the whole family right now at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Valid 10/16 to 10/20, select styles only.
Hey guys, welcome to Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. This is a special collaborative episode with Locked On Wolves. I'm in Minneapolis right now in an actual professional recording studio where they record their shows because they have a much more upscale operation than we do. A few hours after the Bulls get blown out by the Timberwolves in Minneapolis in the second Tom Thibodeau reunion, obviously Jimmy Butler didn't play, Dwayne Wade didn't play, Paul Zipser didn't play, Nico Mirotic didn't play. It was not a very interesting game, but it was not a great way to end the road trip. The Bulls are now lost three in a row in non-competitive fashion. So we talk a little bit about that. Me and Zach Bennett, who's one of the co-hosts of Locked On Wolves, who writes for Cold Omaha, which you should go check out for some Wolves coverage. We talk about that. We talk about some other general NBA stuff. It gets a little bit off the rails at times, but I think it's a pretty entertaining conversation, so I hope you guys enjoy it. As always, you can find us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, follow me on Twitter at Hike, and follow Cody on Twitter at Cody Westerland, like us on Facebook at Locked On Bulls, and if your company's interested in advertising to men between the ages of 18 and 54, then your company should be advertising to us right here on the show. Our audience is 95% male, and 78% of our audience is between the ages of 18 and 44. Recent surveys have shown that the podcast listeners are 65% more willing to consider purchasing products that they learned about from podcasts, and 60%, given equal price and quality, prefer to purchase from companies that advertise on their favorite podcasts. Our rates are reasonable, so make sure you email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com with any inquiries. And as always, subscribe. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, TuneIn, Google Play, anywhere that you can find podcasts. Make sure you subscribe. Leave us a 5-star review, not a 4-star review or a 3-star review, only 5 stars. Tell your friends to subscribe. Check out the other podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network as well, including Locked On Wolves. That's crucial. You want to get the Wolves. I mean, it's going to be the same podcast for this one, but you want to get the Wolves' perspective on kind of this season. Check out Locked On Wolves. They do a great job. Check out the other podcasts off the NBA, NFL teams, all that stuff. So enjoy my conversation with Zach Bennett.
Yeah, we're as ready as we're ever going to be. What's up?
All right.
My name is Zachary Bennett, and I'm here with Sean Hyken, co-host of the Locked On Bulls podcast and a contributor to The Athletic Chicago. How you doing, Sean?
I'm good. This is a little bit fancier than our operation. We're in an actual studio. Like, I've got my headphones that I have on, like, are plugged into, like, the desk. It's crazy.
And you can hear okay through those headphones?
Yeah, with these microphones. This is like a professional operation.
Contrary to popular opinion, I do put forth a professional show every time.
You don't live in your
time.
Mom's basement like most bloggers.
Not quite, no. This is for clarification, this is a collab edition we decided of Locked On Bulls and Locked On Timberwolves.
Crossover.
Crossover, because for you and I, two people who have to do a pod every single day, it's just that much easier.
Absolutely.
And as I was walking in right before the national anthem today, I see Sean. I'm like, hey! Locked On Bulls guy, what are you doing after the game? Let's knock this shit out. Let's get it done. Can I swear on Locked On Bulls?
You can do whatever you want, man.
All right. We can go back and bleep it out.
It's your studio. I think you make the rules.
We have the power to do that. No, you're the guest, and I'm the producer of the program, so it's just we're just going to roll with it. The Minnesota Timberwolves, in a game that Sean Hyken will not want to talk a lot about, defeated the Chicago Bulls 117-89 in what was really a blowout from the get-go. What say you?
I mean, just to be clear, I don't want to talk about it because it wasn't a very interesting game, not because of the result.
It wasn't.
No, it wasn't. I mean, the Bulls, to be fair, the Bulls are missing Dwayne Wade, Jimmy Butler, Nico Mirotic, most importantly, Paul Zipser. So, like, they had some guys out, but, like, they were not competitive from the start. It's their third straight really bad loss. Obviously, they get blown out by the Warriors because, you know, they're going to get blown out by the Warriors. And then they got blown out by Phoenix the other night, which is never a good look.
It's embarrassing, frankly.
It's not good. The Bulls are now 3 games below 500 for the first time of the Fred Hoiberg era, which is not great.
The Fred Hoiberg era or the record itself?
Both.
I'm pushing the envelope.
I mean, they didn't make the playoffs last year. You can't really say that was great.
No, the Bulls sit 7th in the Western Conference, 26-29. 7th, yeah.
I haven't looked at the standings since today. They're still in 7th.
I have the standings up right in front of me. There are 3.5 games back of Indiana for the 6th spot.
Well, they're not getting that.
And ahead of Detroit by half a game. Detroit sits at 25-29 at the 8th seed in the Eastern Conference. So it's funny that you call it a not very interesting game, because as somebody who's covered the Wolves for a while, a team with 3 21-year-old studs and young talent so much promise or whatever, you'd think their fans would go to games. But over the past few seasons, they've ranked 29th, 30th in attendance, battling with Denver for whatever issues Denver has. I don't know. But the Wolves, they have fans that don't go to games. And so tonight, as you saw, full arena. Wolves jump out to a 34-17 lead in the first quarter, and it's like, oh, this is Wolves games can be exciting. Holy buckets, who knew? And I'm talking to my friends who you met earlier at the the bar we were at before we came here, and I'm talking to them. I'm like, hey, you guys enjoyed the game? They're Wolves fans. They were like, no, it was really boring. The Wolves just got out to a big lead, and it was sort of over from there. But Tibbs played the starters the whole time. Tibbs, so how could it be boring?
That is classic Tibbs. That is, and Taj Gibson even said something about that after the game, because you know every single time, Zach, that Tom has been asked about the Bulls since he got fired in 2015, he's tried to take the high road and said, I had two years there. But then Taj Gibson said after the game, no, I know him too well. I know how much this game meant to him. I know that, you know, he left guys out there at the end to try to win this game. Like, people know what's up.
After, and what Tibbs said after, and I'm not sure if you were able to listen or
I wasn't there
anything,
Tom.
But he basically said, you know, I know a lot of the guys, I root for them, you know, when I watch them when they're not playing my team. And
now,
we
have to clarify this. He had to have been talking about the individual guys, so basically
the
just
individual,
Taj and Jimmy.
I think the quote was, especially the guys I've coached.
I don't think he actually roots for the Bulls when they're not playing each other. I believe that about as much as I believe the thing he said before the game, that he hasn't seen or looked at Rajon Rondo's Instagram post from a couple weeks ago. I don't believe that either.
It's pretty funny because he did mention Rondo by name. He's like, Rondo's a talented player and done
well,
a lot of stuff.
Well, that's a Tibbs special. Like back when he was with the Bulls, he would always, whenever they were playing anybody, he would ask, like, what does this team bring? And he'll just go down the other team's roster, like, one through. He'll talk about,
so
like,
smart.
Like some dude on a 10-day contract. He'll be like, yeah, you know, Cartier Martin really just brings a lot to their team.
Yeah, it's incredible. And speaking of dudes on a 10-day contract, Lance Stephenson. What the hell? It's sort of like he gets the ball and everybody stops to watch to see what he's doing, and there's a 5-foot force field around him. It's like, by rule. Did you get that sense?
Do you think he's going to stick?
I'm in if he does stick.
I mean, they just kind of, I feel like that was just a stopgap because they just need another wing after Zach LaVine got hurt. But like,
who knew that Tibbs would actually play him like right away? We weren't sure, and lo and behold, he comes out
and plays
the first
game. Well,
the
thing you have to remember with Lance is he's got playoff experience because he went to the conference finals with two of those Pacers teams. I was actually at that game against the Heat in 2014.
The LeBron
ear-blowing.
Yeah.
Yes, I was at that game.
Lance, you know, he thought he does nice things defensively still. He's a black hole offensively.
He's so talented. He's just, there's so much other stuff that comes with him.
Yeah, it's incredible. But he's a plus 10 and plus minus tonight. Scores 6 points, 3-5 shooting. Defensively, he's still big and can guard and switch on multiple positions. And that to me is something that I had forgotten because I don't watch that many Eastern Conference games. And that, so I was sort of taken aback by that. But it was funny in the locker room after the game. Jordan Hill is going about the rounds and he's saying bye. Yeah, he's got, you know, sort of a casual Minnesota goodbye.
So
small,
he's the Dapmaster.
Small conversation with everybody before he goes, and then he looks at Lance. He goes, Stephenson, gives him the head nod, just walks out. Just a firm Stephenson.
That's great. I mean, I'll bet leave. Guys were a little bit looser tonight in that locker room than they were in the Bulls locker room. Which I think at this point, it's such a weird vibe right now in the Bulls locker room because the first couple of games this season that they lost, they were all just like, oh, you know, we'll be fine, we'll be fine. And then after the Tibbs game a couple months ago in December, when they blew a huge lead, they were like shell shocked. And then that same week, they lose to the Bucks twice on back to back nights, and they get blown out both nights. And like it's as down as I've ever seen them. And then since then, they've just kind of, even after they lose a game, so like even after a game like this where they didn't play well at all, they just kind of are. They all kind of know that this is what they are. They're a 500-ish team that might make the playoffs and might not, or you know, they're fighting for the 7th or the 8th seed. They're all kind of accepted that this is what it is, and that's just kind of how it is.
So, if you want to get into the grand scope of things regarding the Bulls,
sure.
In the fourth quarter starts, and Hoiberg trots out a 5-man lineup. 20 seconds go by. Timeout. he subs people out. So it's as if it's like, dude, 20 seconds earlier, you were satisfied with this five-man crew on the floor. And 20 seconds later, you've got different people. What's going on there with the Hoiberg thing? Because, you know, we got Britt Robeson. He's a Min Post contributor.
Nice.
Covered the NBA at Sports Illustrated. Very knowledgeable guy. Saying that he might not last till the All-Star break. And it's pure speculation.
Hoiberg?
But it's, yeah.
No
it's,
chance.
No chance he lasts till the All-Star break?
No,
he's gone.
No chance he gets fired.
No, fact, that's...
I would go further than that. I would be shocked if he didn't start next training camp as the Bulls coach.
I wanted to clarify on that because Britt's known to have extreme opinions. You know, we went to the locker room at halftime and he's saying the Wolves could blow it. He's not ruling it out. So he's very cynical in that regard.
So here's why there's, I think, almost no chance Hoiberg gets fired anytime soon. There's a couple of reasons. One is obviously the money. They are paying him $5 million a year for the next 3 years after this one. So if they fired him, they would have to pay him that money. You have to pay him that money. And on top of hiring another coach, which, you know, the going rate for an NBA coach these days is $5, $6, $7 million a year, depending on how big of a name it is.
Thanks, Jason Kidd.
Exactly. So it would be... Oh, Derek Fisher got the 5-year 25.
Oh, that is true.
So
it's
Derek Fisher, yeah. Steve Kerr, like these first, like, so, you know, it would be really expensive to fire him, but on top of, so they fire Tom with 2 years left on his contract.
Yep.
Last year they had to pay him on top of paying Hoiberg. This year they're not paying him anymore because once he gets hired by the Timberwolves, that money offsets. Fred's not getting another NBA job, so they're going to have to pay him those next 3 years. And the other reason they're not going to ever, I think, to make a change, I think the earliest they could make a change is middle of next season if they don't make the playoffs this year and then they get off to a slow start next year. Because if you remember back to the process of hiring Hoiberg, they fire Tom, and that day at the press conference, Gar and Pax basically say, yeah, we're going to have a nationwide coaching search and leave no stone unturned, and we're going to interview a wide variety of candidates. I'd have to go back through my old notes and look at what the exact quote was, but it was something to that effect. And then, like, 24 hours later, Woj and all the national guys are reporting the years and money on Hoiberg's contract. So it's like, okay.
Seemed like a foregone conclusion.
Sure. Well, no. I mean, it had been the worst kept secret in the league that he was going to be their guy because, you know, he has a relationship with
– Do you got to take that? You got to take that? Is that you buzzing or is
no,
that
No, it's
me?
Not. It's not me.
Oh, geez.
It's not my phone. But
could be mine.
What I was saying is Fred has a relationship with Gar because Gar was an assistant coach at Iowa State in the 90s when Fred played there. And when Fred left the Bulls as a player to go to the Timberwolves, Gar bought his house from him.
Oh, yeah.
So they have
heard that, actually.
They go way back. And so he had been their guy. He was their handpicked successor. And so if you're the Bulls front office – you fire a coach that's as successful as Tom was in the 5 years. And, I mean, I don't want to litigate why he's not there anymore.
The Bulls listeners don't need it.
Right,
the Wolves people don't need it.
There was fault on both sides there. The relationship needed to end. But when you fire a coach that's as successful as Tom was in Chicago, and then you bring in a college coach who's never coached in the NBA before without interviewing any other candidates, you better nail that hire. It had better be, like, as much of a success as Brad Stevens was going from college to the NBA. If he were to just flame out after a year and a half of just being mediocre and not doing anything, after you sell him as this offensive guru who's going to reinvent the offense and
threes
bring this fast-paced system.
Yeah.
Exactly. And
the shot chart. Everybody knows it.
Oh,
the shot
totally.
Chart analytics.
Totally. And so if you do that and you know, you sell him as that and you hire him without having an actual coaching search and then you fire him like a year and a half later, the optics of that are not good.
But is it a complete disaster right now, currently?
So far it has been, but I don't know how much of that is on Fred. He certainly hasn't done himself any favors with some of his rotation decisions, but I think a lot more of it is on the roster that management
has given
him. Because
he got Dwayne Wade. Nobody expected that.
Well, here's the thing. Yeah, that's the thing. Wade just fell into their laps. Like, on July 1st, there was no way that they went into free agency thinking, oh, we could get Dwayne Wade. I think it was like July 4th or July 5th that he started actually sending out indications, look, like me and Pat aren't really going to reach a deal.
New phone. Who
I might actually leave Miami. And then the Bulls were just like, oh, okay, let's look at this. The Rondo thing, I mean, see, I think I was not a fan of the Rondo signing when it happened, but it was more the Rondo and Wade signings together. If they had had just Rondo and Butler or just Wade and Butler, they would have been able to make it work. I think it would have been fine. But just having all three of them there, none of them can shoot, and then having to manage all three of those personalities, like that was just going to be a disaster from the get-go.
Yeah, who has a chance to do that? Like, who?
Right, and then on top of that, like, and I don't know how much of this is on Fred and how much of it's on the front office, but the young guys that they have just not gotten better. I don't know how much of it is on the play on the coaching staff for not developing them or how much of it is on the front office for just not being good judges of talent over the last few years in the draft, but Denzel Valentine, their lottery pick this year. He played tonight because they had no bodies, and he was not very good, but he's been out of the rotation lately. Bobby Portis, their first round pick last year.
30 minutes tonight.
Yeah, he was okay tonight, but he's been awful.
Seemed too slow or too small to defend whoever he's guarding.
He's not – right, he has not been good. Jaron Grant has been in and out of the rotation. He's been starting. He's actually been okay. MCW has been awful.
No, there was that 4-on-1 breakaway layup that may or may not, you know – yeah. Epitomized the season.
My boss, John Greenberg, tweeted the video of that and said, Showtime Bulls, which I thought was pretty good.
And it sums up their season perfectly. Uh-huh. It's just a, you know, a comedic disaster almost. Denzel Valentine, did he start playing recently? Because I know he was dealing with injuries.
Well, no, he hasn't been dealing with injuries. He just hasn't been
he's just not very good
rotation.
Yet. And he's a rookie.
He spent a week in the D League, so he missed the first two games of the road trip because he was in the D League. And then he came back. He was with the team in Sacramento, didn't play, even when they were up 27, didn't play. And then he played a bunch.
I thought
against...
Hoiberg coached the Wolves, not Tibbs.
He played a bunch in the in the Warriors game. He was awful. He played in the Phoenix game two nights ago. He was awful. Tonight he was not good either. Like I don't know what, like, if you look at this group of young guys. So get rid of so put aside the four veterans who are like the solid or the five, Rondo, Wade, Butler, Taj, and Robin Lopez. Put aside those guys. Out of the rest of them, which of those guys can you look at and honestly say, I think this guy is going to be a piece that you can build around long term, that's going to be a building block or could be a rotation player on a good team?
I'll go more specific in who is the jury still out on of those young players.
There's two guys that I think might actually be good, and that's Cristiano Felicio, the backup center, and Paul Zipser, who didn't play tonight, but he's from Germany. He's a rookie. He's a second-round pick. He's looked pretty good when he's played recently.
So Bobby Portis, 30 minutes, six of 11, 16 points. Look good offensively. Defensively is another story. But
I need to see more. He can't defend anybody. He's going to have to do that to stay on the floor.
Yeah, and I got the small sample treatment tonight, but I liked him in college.
A lot of people did.
Found him looking at tape of Towns when I was doing the, you know, because there was the Jahlil Okafor, Towns,
sure.
You know, who's the Wolves take? And I'm looking at film, and I'm going, this guy from Arkansas is really undersized, is really, you know, giving Towns a run for his money at both sides of the floor.
He went up. He outplayed him at Summer League in the first game because it was the Bulls-Timberwolves, the first game of Summer League the year they were both drafted.
And they, you know, they went head-to-head, and so it's...
Yeah.
And I've always liked Bobby Portis in that respect. I get the small, you know, there's the whole small sample size alert, but he did well offensively tonight in a game where not a lot of the Bulls did very well offensively.
Right, but I mean, again, the Bulls were undermanned. Like, when you don't have Jimmy Butler, there's really – I mean, and the on-off numbers are – go look up the on-off numbers.
I can pull them up, yeah.
For, like the net rating on-off numbers for
Jimmy Butler.
It's
going to be awful. It's just blood across the screen.
It's astronomical, the difference that he makes.
What about Doug McDermott?
He has had so many opportunities to be good.
And he has not taken them.
He either is afraid to shoot, which is supposedly his only skill.
Nemanja-Bjelica syndrome.
There you go. Or he just, like, they don't look for him. Because he actually can score in the post pretty efficiently, but they don't really look for him there. He still can't defend anybody.
And is he a 3 or 4? I'm not totally sure.
Right. And Nico is the same way. Nico didn't play tonight. He had back spasms. But
that was pretty funny. It's like, no Wade, no Butler, and no Mirotić.
No Paul Zipser, though.
The people want Paul Zipser.
The people are, like, Paul Zipser and Chris Felicio are, like, Paul Zipser and Chris Felicio are, like, the two semi-positive things about this season for the Bulls.
Without Jimmy Butler on the court, the Bulls are negative 9.7 net rating.
That sounds about right. What are they with him? I haven't looked at it.
With him on the floor, they're a positive 2.7, so it's a difference of about 11.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, it's Jimmy Butler, man. When's he going to be back?
I don't know. You know, he played the other night against Phoenix, and he looked pretty good for three quarters, and then, like, he started feeling pain, so he was a little bit less effective after that. They've got two more games. They play the Raptors on Tuesday, the Celtics on Thursday.
What a grueling. So you got to go to California, Oklahoma City, Phoenix, in some order, and then Minnesota, and then Toronto?
Well, here's the thing. They're home against Toronto.
Oh, got it.
This was the last game of the road trip. They're home against Toronto and Boston. They'll win both of those games because they always beat the Raptors, and the Celtics game is on TNT, and they've won something like 16 TNT home games in a row.
Oh, my goodness. That is a Dave Benzian, you know, Wolves play-by-play announcer.
That's a thing. Like, they, the Hashtag TNT Bulls. Like, that's a thing. They've won their last 16 home TNT games. So.
No way. And somebody actually took the time to
absolutely
track that.
Absolutely. No, it's my boy Jason Pat, who writes for Bloggable and FanRag.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, that's his thing. Shout out to Jason. But
Wolves fans are just happy to have a couple of national TV appearances, and the Bulls just get all of them.
But here's the thing. Well, because they're a big market. Yeah. People still, the crying meme guy used to play for the Bulls.
So not arguably the worst franchise to ever exist.
I think there are two franchises in the NBA that are worse run than the Bulls.
Toronto? I'm saying in a historical context, the Wolves could be the worst NBA franchise there is.
Well, they've
period.
Only made the playoffs. They haven't made the playoffs
times.
Since. They haven't made the playoffs since 2004, right?
They've made it eight times. They've been out of the first round once.
Yeah, the 2004, the Garnett MVP year.
Yeah, the Garnett MVP year. So I don't know if Toronto has a better, in that conversation. I don't know, but it's.
But what I'm saying is, the Bulls have those two games. And then they've got the All-Star break. Jimmy wants to play in the All-Star. He'll tell you it doesn't mean anything to him, but he's starting in the All-Star game. He wants to play in the All-Star game.
Kind of like
not...
Tibbs doesn't care about beating the Bulls.
Right, exactly. Yeah. It's one of those. But he, if he doesn't play these next two games, there's no way to really justify letting him play in the All-Star game.
What was the deal with Melo last year when Melo was...
Well, no, this was 2 years ago because it was 2 years ago that they had the All-Star game in New York.
Yeah,
and so they... Of course, Melo wants to play because the All-Star game is in New York. And then, 2 days after the All-Star game, he plays in the All-Star game. And he was like, because it was important to him to host the All-Star game because he plays for the Knicks and the All-Star game was at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, obviously.
And then, 2 days later, he has season-ending knee surgery.
What's going on here?
I mean, it ended up working out okay for them because the Knicks got the fourth pick in the draft and they took Porzingis, so that ended up working out okay for them. But, I don't think the Bulls are at that point. Because by then, the Knicks knew they were done. So it didn't really matter if Melo played the rest of the season. The Bulls are still trying to make the playoffs. And I ultimately still think they're going to because, not because I think they're good, because I think we can definitively say they're not good.
Hashtag Easter Conference.
But it's
just
right. It's like that. That's the thing. I think the top six have kind of separated themselves. So there's two spots that are open, and you're basically looking at between the Bulls, the Pistons, and the Hornets. The Hornets are a mess right now. The Pistons have gotten it together a little bit lately. The Hornets, I think the
that's
Bulls.
That's a head scratcher. The Hornets.
The thing with the Bulls, I just think the Bulls have, assuming Jimmy's heel injury isn't a long-term thing. The Bulls have the best player out of any of those three teams. And in the NBA, when you have a top 10 guy, you have more of a chance to win some of those games than you do. And Jimmy has bailed them out so many times in these games. I think they're going to scrap. When Cody and I did our predictions for the win totals for the season, I said before the season that I thought they were going to go 42-40 and that was going to be enough to get them into the eighth seed. I don't think they're going to hit 42, but I think that whatever, two games below 500, whatever they do, it's going to be enough to get them the 7 or the 8 seed just because the rest of the East isn't stepping up either.
Here's going to be the smoothest segue I've ever performed because there's one spot in the Western Conference that the Wolves are essentially biding for.
I got you.
And at the beginning of the year, a lot of people thought they were going to go 40-42 and make
some
the
people,
eighth seed.
Unless
you're Tim Von Temps, who thought they were going to go 50 games.
Shout out to Tim
games.
Von Temps.
Yeah.
That's my boy. But
dude, we bring that up on every pod, I think.
No, I know Tim pretty well. I've given him shit for that all the time. I was always, going into the season, as much as, obviously Karl Anthony Towns has an incredible year last year, and I'm as high on him as anybody is. I'm pro Wiggins. I know that's become a divisive topic lately. I still think Wiggins is going to be really good. And obviously I have so much respect for Tom and the job that he did in Minnesota that I thought that was going to be an upgrade. But I still thought, going into the season, that the Timberwolves were a year or two away from really making a run. I feel like the Timberwolves right now are more the 2009 Thunder and not the 2010 Thunder, which was the first year where, Durant and Westbrook were together and, they were terrible, but you could be these guys are really talented. They're going to be really good in a couple of years. I feel like that's where the Wolves are now. I think they're still one or two years away.
Yeah, and everybody, I think, here with the fans not going to games, I think they're sick of hearing that. It's we want results. Damn
well,
it.
I mean, it'll be interesting to see how the LaVine thing impacts that a little bit because it was their big three because it was obviously Wiggins and Towns are the two big names, but LaVine was having a terrific season and now he's gone. And especially for a guy as athletic as he is, we don't know if he's going to come back the same after an ACL injury. I mean, he's been shooting really well this year, so I think he should be able to adapt if he doesn't have a lot of that athleticism. But that was a setback.
Totally.
So how serious do you think the Timberwolves' chances are of actually getting that eighth seed?
They're still in it, and hard.
So who's not? So who's not in it? Basically, just the Lakers and the Suns.
Let me give you the rundown. Portland's at 23-31, and they made a trade today to, I don't know what it says about their future or where they want, but no, I'm sorry. Denver is in the eighth seed. They're 24-30. Portland is next at 23-31. Sacramento's 22-32. There was the Rudy Gay injury. Dallas, who is a disaster or not a disaster, depending
on
the night.
Voodoo magic. That's what it is.
Oddly, I mean,
Yogi Ferrell's sanity. Yogi Ferrell's the best player in the NBA.
The Wolves, they are 3.5 games back of the eighth seed, but there's five teams all in the running. So
yeah.
It's just a matter
of... it's about like where the Bulls are in the Eastern Conference, except all the teams are like six games below 500.
Yeah, only there's the extra team, and that was part of the smooth segue. So it's... I mean, it really is... I mean, they haven't... I don't think they've gotten... Or Chris Dunn has not brought a lot to the table.
Former Bulls trade target, Chris Dunn.
I was in... Do you remember the Thrice concert we were talking about? That was at the time... Like, I watched Chris Dunn's introductory press conference where I was staying in Chicago, and they did a write-up about it. So it's... I'm there at the time, which was an odd string of events. It's totally irrelevant
to
the conversation.
That was... Because that's who the Bulls wanted in the top of the draft. They were talking to the Celtics on draft night about a Jimmy trade, and if they had gotten that number three pick, they would have taken Chris Dunn, and then when the Celtics took Jaylen Brown, that was the end of that.
Yeah. So they haven't gotten what they needed out of Chris Dunn. Ricky Rubio, he had a nice game tonight, and he's been scoring in the double figures recently.
He was knocking down some shots.
The and ones, dude.
He hit a couple threes tonight.
Yeah, and Thibodeau praised him for just taking the shots that the offense dictates him to take, and that's one thing that drove him nuts at the beginning of the year, because much like the Rondo possession that happened right in front of us where we were sitting, where he's got an open layup and he kicks it to McDermott, who ended up hitting the corner three. And
Rondo is just so averse to shooting in any way. I think part of it is because he's such a bad free throw shooter. He doesn't want to like drive to the hoop and draw contact.
Yeah, and that's sort of the similarities. Back in 2010, you could say, what is the difference between Ricky Rubio and Rajon Rondo in 10 years? And a lot of people were like, whoa, Rondo's a lot better. There's a lot of similarities between them.
Yeah.
Rubio's probably the guy I would take right now. But I don't know. Realistically, they could get the AC. Are they going to blow more games in the third or fourth quarter for the remainder of the year? I don't know. I think that's got a lot to do why Thibodeau left the starters in throughout the fourth. You know, we need to get the guys to play consistently for the duration of a game. And that's essentially
his excuse. I know that one well. You have to put everything you have into each and every day, and the results will take care of themselves.
Yeah.
You can't skip any steps. The magic is in the work.
Yeah. You need to do it consistently on every single play.
You don't replace a player like Zach LaVine individually. You have to do it as a team.
Well, they miss his defensive presence, certainly, if you can't tell by the numbers. Here's the question I want to ask you.
Sure.
The nuanced conversation here is, if you're going to keep Wiggins, Towns, and LaVine, you're obviously keeping Towns. We don't need to go any further on that. But are Wiggins and LaVine in any way redundant or too redundant to keep them both, assuming that they're getting max contracts? And that conversation, if you're looking at both of them as offensive players, is not totally ludicrous, but could be totally ludicrous. It's at the defensive end, and the fact that they're both twos really shouldn't be defending threes until Wiggins fills out, if he ever fills out. So I think they're redundant defensively a little bit, but what are your thoughts on that whole conversation in a general sense? I know you don't cover the Wolves. It's not really your job, but the conversation is, are those two redundant and can they play together long term?
LaVine's not getting a max contract now, is he, after the ACL?
Could No, but if he didn't get hurt, he could have asked for
one.
Well,
I think he could have, but it's just...
He was on that trajectory.
But now it's
certainly
the reality. Like, if he's probably not going to get one.
And he couldn't. There's certainly the good teammate thing, and it takes
right. And I mean, he's a better shooter than Wiggins is, certainly. But
yeah,
it's
no question about that.
I mean, I think they can play together, and I think, like you said, it's going to depend on if Wiggins fills out, and then they can have him then play the two and the three, where Wiggins can be the one that guards, you know, guys like Paul George and Jimmy Butler, and you know, not that anyone can guard LeBron, but LeBron.
But attempt to and match up
with
them physically.
Right, be that kind of role. I think he has more of a potential to be that than LaVine is, but I think LaVine is further along in some other aspects of his offensive game. I think they kind of complement each other well. It's just going to be a matter of them both getting better.
Yeah, it's like Wiggins, just take your talents and go into Brandon Rush's body really quick. Because Brandon Rush has the body to defend all of those aforementioned superstars that you defended.
Right, exactly.
And he's just not there yet. So that's sort of been the Wolves.
Not there yet in his what is this, like his eighth year in the league?
Yeah.
The eighth or ninth year.
Although I wish I could talk to it's like, dude, Wiggins had all these post-ups and he was going to the line so much, and you basically negated that because now you're having him handle the ball late in fourth quarters, which is not a skill. And that's sort of an interest that, you know, that deserves a little bit more look.
He's probably a better ball handler than any of the Bulls options there.
Yeah, that was disastrous. And outside shooter too.
Yeah.
At one point the Bulls had Rondo, Carter Williams, and Grant on the
Yeah, 3-point guard lineup, baby.
I mean, they started well shooting. I mean,
the one thing I'll say for MCW is that he's a good defender. He's long. He gets up into guys. He's a good on ball defender.
It's kind of like Rubio.
Right, exactly. He can't shoot, and he's just like, and he makes so many other mistakes. Like, you know, we joked earlier about that blown fast break, but like, it's not. Like that's pretty common.
It's a microcosm.
He's started a bunch lately because Jimmy's been out, but he was totally out of the rotation until he started for Jimmy.
Really?
He got 4 DNPs right like before that. The last 4 games, he got DNPs.
What did they give up for him?
Just Tony Snell.
Bad idea?
Tony Snell's been okay in Milwaukee, but like that was a trade. Like Snell has been awful.
Snell became like the third best shooter in Milwaukee at the time.
Sure, I mean that was a trade that like I think both sides kind of at the time got what they needed out of it because the Bucks just needed any kind of body at the wing once Chris Middleton went down, and then the Bulls none of the backup point guards were impressing them in camp, and so they were just like, we'll try out MCW. So, I mean, the trade made sense at the time, and neither of them gave up any picks. And now the Bucks are going to need Snell going forward because Jabari, speaking of knee injuries,
it sucks.
That's just awful.
Everything is awful.
He's a Chicago guy, and it was the same knee, and he was having such a good year, and that just sucks. But, like,
we sat next to each other when Jabari played Wiggins at that summer league game when those two came into the league, if you remember that.
I do remember that, but I don't remember.
Seth Partnow was next to us.
I don't remember much about that game from the summer league because that was the day that LeBron put out the SI letter announcing he was going back to Cleveland.
That was why you were button mashing sitting there.
I'm a famous button masher because but what happened was going into that day, I was going to, you know, I was thinking about going to summer league. Oh, cool. It's going to be the Wiggins-Parker game. We're going to get to see these two guys next to each other. And then suddenly LeBron announces he's going back to Cleveland. And all we're asking Wiggins afterwards is like, hey, so have you heard about these rumors that you might get traded for Kevin Love?
I felt so bad for him at the time. That was fun when they put everybody in the Cox Pavilion. So it was like a full arena.
And for those of the people who haven't been to Summer League, Cox is a smaller gym that's adjacent to Thomas and Mack.
Yeah, and it's smaller.
So that's where they had the Jabari Wiggins game.
And they filled it. I mean, they had people standing basically behind us in Media Row just to watch. Yeah. And now they put it in the bigger arena and all of the environment's gone, in my opinion. And I just don't like it as much. But we're at like 30 minutes. You want to go general NBA for a little while?
We can go a little bit.
I haven't been paying attention to Jahlil Okafor at all.
The trade rumors?
You brought him up in the car. I saw that he didn't travel with Philly. What's going on?
So it seems like he's going to get traded in the next couple of days. He didn't play last night against the Heat. Brett Brown basically confirmed afterwards that they held him out because they're talking to teams about trading him and they don't want him to get injured.
I saw a funny tweet about that. I should probably save it, but somebody reported that sources said this, and it's like, yeah, Brett Brown said it in the press conference.
We can talk about that off the air. I know exactly what you're talking about. Then today some of the Sixers beat writers reported that he didn't go on the team plane to, I think Charlotte is where they're playing, but he didn't go on the team plane. Because he's going to get traded soon. And, you know, last week there were those reports. I think Woj had it, like Amon
Drew
had
Holiday
it,
for...
No, not even Drew. No, what I saw was that the Pelicans trade was going to be like the Pelicans first and then either Ashik or Ajinsa's contract. And that was the trade. And then, like, you know, a while ago, like, there was, like, talk that the Bulls might be interested. Like, I've seen some of that
for
lately
Okafor?
On Twitter. I've been told – I talked to somebody in the organization yesterday who would know these things. Yesterday, when the reports first came out, I texted somebody. I was told pretty strongly that they're not having those discussions. But, like, that's kind of lingered. I've heard Portland's name thrown around.
Portland's probably off the table with the deal that they made today.
I think they're probably off the table after doing the Nurkic trade today. I don't know. But, I mean – on the one hand, trading for Okafor is the exact kind of move I would expect the Bulls front office to do because he's a name. He's from Chicago. They can sell him to fans as that. He has good counting stats. I think he'd be a
had a nice game the other night.
Sure, I think he's a talented player. It's just the kind of thing. I mean, he has kind of the same problem as Greg Monroe, which is he's not. It's not that he's not a talented player. It's just that when you're a big man who can't play out of the perimeter and can't protect the rim. You can get away with not with being a big man and not being able to shoot if you're a rim protector like DeAndre Jordan or Rudy Gobert. But if you're not that, he's basically Al Jefferson.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much use
Wolves fans love Al.
No,
Jefferson.
Right. But I don't know how much use Al Jefferson has in the modern game. You'll notice he didn't get a max contract this summer when a lot of people did. But
no, and he went to the team that wanted to play faster.
Right, which is a little bit like the Bulls saying they wanted to get younger and more athletic and then signing Rajon Rondo and Dwayne Wade.
Oh, my goodness.
But I mean, you can't rule anything out because, teams talk all the time and this stuff is always evolving. But
oh, yeah.
I was told yesterday that the Bulls aren't really in on Okafor, but it also, just knowing this
can't
front office,
it out.
Wouldn't
can't,
surprise
can't
me if they did
totally
that.
Out.
But, you know,
But the pairing of Anthony Davis and Jahlil Okafor.
No, it makes sense.
It makes sense. Better than the Nerlens.
Well, the thing is, you can have Anthony Davis. Because the thing is, Anthony Davis can go out onto the mid range. He doesn't quite have that 3-point range yet that he's been talking about adding for. But he can hit that mid range shot, and he also can be a rim protector. You can, in order to play a guy we were talking, because
he would have to play the five though.
Positionless
basketball, it doesn't matter.
Well, sure, but people were talking about this because back during training camp, when they were talking about the Bucks are shopping Greg Monroe, and it's okay, who are you gonna get to? Who's gonna look around and say, hey, Greg Monroe is a piece that you need? Basically, you can only play a guy like Greg Monroe and have him be effective if he's next to a guy like Anthony Davis or Serge Ibaka or Karl-Anthony Towns or somebody like that who is a big man who can protect the rim but also can go out to the perimeter or at least out to the mid range. So if you put Okafor, and Okafor kind of has the same skill set as Monroe, so if you put Okafor with Anthony Davis, at least offensively, I think that makes some sense.
Yeah, I totally agree. Does it help the Pelicans make the playoffs this year?
Well, I think that's kind of part of it.
How much better are you
getting
by the
deal? Well, but that's the thing. I think Dell Demps is kind of GMing for his job right now.
Dangerous. It's
which
dangerous.
Is not great. I mean, I can tell you that's not what's going on with the Bulls because Gar and Pax are not going anywhere.
No, I can't imagine. So... The Philly goes to Charlotte on the 13th, and then they're in Boston. So it's a 2-game road trip, which is significant for a player not to travel, especially one who's getting significant minutes and he's healthy.
Right.
What other stuff is going on? Who's playing right now?
The Denver trade is interesting. The Denver
Portland
trade.
Give me the deets on that, too, because
So the trade is Nurkic and the Grizzlies' 2017 first-rounder to Portland for Mason Plumlee and a 2018 second rounder.
And that Grizzlies first round would be anywhere between, 18
sure.
and 24?
The point, well, the Blazers, I mean, I think it makes sense. I care about it more from the Blazers standpoint because I'm from Portland. I'm still sort of a Blazers fan, even though a lot of my fandom has kind of gone away doing this professionally. But, I think it makes sense for them. I don't even know if Nurkic, because Nurkic's been pretty bad this year, but
was good at the beginning.
Right, he was, but he's been pretty bad for a lot of the year. It's a fine gamble. They would have had to pay Mason Plumlee this summer, and they're already paying so many guys like Allen Crabbe, Evan Turner, Myers Leonard, Mo Harkless, so many guys.
Why? I don't know.
CJ McCollum's extension kicks in next year. They have so many guys they're paying, so they wouldn't have had to pay him.
And they were so good when they didn't pay anybody really much of anything.
Well, I mean, we can have a different discussion about whether paying Evan Turner $70 million is the move. I would argue that it's not. And that,
problem,
that was
I would
obvious from
I would
the beginning.
Agree, so the discussion ended.
But, now they've got 3 picks in this coming draft, which is supposed to be a loaded draft, so either they can get some good rookies or they can use those picks to swing a bigger trade, maybe use a pick to get someone to take on that Evan Turner contract, and then they still have a couple of picks left over. I don't know. I mean, it just gives them options.
Does it hurt to get rid of Plumlee, though? Because I know he had a nice rapport with the players there, especially Damian Lillard.
Plumlee's been pretty good, and he's a good passer. I actually am really excited to see how he works with Jokic.
Yeah, that'll be fun. And I know the Plumlees are guys who you see them out on the floor early getting all their stuff done.
Can we talk about how 2 Plumlees got traded in the last week?
I can't even keep track of all these damn
Plumlees. Because Miles is the one in Milwaukee, and he just got traded to Charlotte for Roy Hibbert and Spencer Hawes.
Yeah, and by the way, Roy Hibbert plays for Charlotte.
Yeah, he was on a 1-year deal.
They came to town, it's like, oh, hey, Roy Hibbert.
It's so crazy what happened to Roy Hibbert, because there was that 2-year stretch when he was with the Pacers where he legitimately was one of the best defensive players in the league. And then just overnight, I don't know if it was him physically breaking down or if it was
the league evolving
where guys who are slow and can't – big men who are slow and can't shoot, but he's still such a good rim protector.
They were 2 minutes away from beating the Heat.
They were.
It's just astonishing. All right, what else? The Denver. I think they're my favorite to make the AC in the Western Conference. Jamal Murray is a guy that I wanted.
I like Murray. I like that other kid Beasley that they have too. And then obviously Jokic.
Malik Beasley.
Yeah, yeah. And then obviously Jokic is incredible.
He's a monster, and he's, you know, the intriguing tandem that in international ball, because I'm a degenerate and I watch international ball,
sure,
and Serbia's Nimenjavilica and Jokic, they're a fun tandem, but Jokic always seems to be in the doghouse with whatever the Serbian coach's name is. Only gets like 20, 25 minutes a game. It's
right.
Odd. But he's so incredibly talented. I definitely put them in the eighth seed. They're my favorite to make the eighth seed.
I kind of like New Orleans, honestly.
Really?
Yeah.
With the way Drew Holiday plays? Yeah.
Drew has been great since he came back. He's been healthy because he wasn't hurt this year. He just had, obviously, had the brain tumor, and obviously she's doing better, so he was comfortable coming back. And since then, he's been great. The Pelicans have been a different team since he came back. Buddy Hield also has been...
He's the guy I didn't want. It's like, I was just not Buddy Hield.
He was awful
at the draft.
He was awful at the beginning of the season, but he's really come on the last...
He won December Rookie of the Month.
December Rookie
of the Month.
He's come on the last couple of months or so. He's been good. You know, if they get Okafor, as much as I don't really know if Okafor's good that good, I mean, right now they're playing like a Sheik and a Ajinsa and like whoever.
They've come a long way from paying, you know,
at center,
if they five can... guys last year that they played. Three of them I can't even
right
name.
Right. No, I kind of like New Orleans. That race is interesting. I mean, it would be good for the Bulls if the Kings got somehow snuck into the eighth seed, because the Bulls have the Kings
Omar Caspi deal?
Omer Caspi, J.J. Hickson deal from back in 2010. The Bulls got it in the Luol Deng trade from Cleveland.
Oh, my goodness. It's fascinating.
It's always fun how you can go back and trace, like, these picks. The Rondo, like,
just ask Wolves fans.
Sometimes you should go back and look at the genesis of the pick that became Rajon Rondo with the Celtics. Because that was a Lakers pick originally, and they traded it for, like, Gary Payton or something. And then it was, like, went to Phoenix for a little bit. And then Boston bought it from Phoenix for when Robert Sarver was just selling off every first-round pick that he had back in, like, 2005.
Well, and he took a first-round pick because the Wolves needed to get rid of Wesley Johnson that bad. But they got rid of Wesley Johnson and Beasley in that deal, and they had to get rid of a first-round pick just to get rid of players.
Wait, Beasley was a...
he was a good player. He wasn't. Wait, no, was Johnson that the first round.
Well, no, talking. Beasley was a... I thought Beasley was a... Was Beasley a trade, or was he a signing?
He might have been a signing.
Beasley was a free agent. They gave him, like, that $18 million a year contract, and then after... Or $18 million over a three-year contract, and then after the first year, they used the stretch provision on him.
There was a lot of alcohol consumed up here when the Darko Beasley and, you know, that whole.
Did you
era
get
happened.
To go to the? Did you get to go to the yard sale? Because Harper had like
the Beasley yard sale.
Because Harper has the Yale basketball poster that he bought from Michael Beasley's yard sale.
No, it happened not too far from where I lived at the time. We lived in St. Louis Park, and he lived, I want to say, off Minnetonka Boulevard.
Okay,
sort of near there. But my Michael Beasley story was the day Kurt Rambis sent him home from training camp on the first day, and he's got to answer questions after the game. He's like, Michael didn't, or after he's talking to the media after the first day of training camp. He's like, Michael didn't have a good day today. He's going to come back tomorrow with a better attitude.
It seems like Beasley's actually gotten his act together a little bit. He's
institutionalized for sure.
He was pretty good in Houston, and he's been okay in Milwaukee.
I agree. I'm a Mike Beasley apologist. He's my man. I would have him on this team. But he's at the Super America off 394 in Louisiana, which Minnesota listeners will
sure,
know
okay.
too well.
That doesn't mean anything to me.
He's picking up a huge bag of Skittles and two liters of orange soda. And my roommate and I are at the time going, Michael, training camp starts tomorrow. Not to him, but in our heads. And then he had the bad training camp day. And this has gone way off the rails. So Sean Hyken, Locked On
Bulls.
Podcast. I think your Twitter handle is just your last name, right?
It is. I had to fight to get it a few years ago.
Really? You had to lobby for it?
Yeah.
Somebody was sitting on Hyken?
Somebody was sitting on it whose name, his name was Barney McElroy. And he was a dude in, like, Ireland. He only had one tweet.
What the hell was he doing with your
name? No followers. I have no idea. So I had to, like, this was back when I was
He knows how successful you'll be, so he wanted to squat.
That's what he did. Well, this was back when I was at USA Today. I had their social media team, like, talk to Twitter and get it for me.
Oh, really? And
same
so
time they got
how
me.
How long was the process?
It was like a week. And then they got me, that was the same time they got me my blue check mark back before, like, literally anybody could get a blue check mark. Because if you notice, like, anybody can get verified.
They verify, you know, SB Nation contributors are getting
so many people are verified. It, like, almost doesn't mean.
You know who isn't verified? This guy right here.
Well, hey, you know what? Not being verified is the new being verified.
And in the city of Minneapolis, where hipsters run rampant, I fit in perfectly. Sean Hyken on Twitter at.
At Hykin. H-I-G-H-K-I-N.
There you go. You can find his work at The Athletic and plenty of other places. Locked On Bulls podcast, of course.
Make sure you go leave us 5-star reviews so that sponsors will give us money.
Yeah, that's a big part of why
Major
we do this.
Key.
We would like to get paid for our work. Thank you for coming into the studio after the game on a, you know, impromptu, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah, this was fun.
Appreciate you having. So next time you're in town, we'll do it again. Or if I end up traveling with the team someday, you owe me. You owe me.
Let's
one.
Get it.
We'll sit in your apartment. And
yeah,
we'll
I don't have a professional studio like this, but you definitely can swing by.
All right, cool. Yeah, no, that sounds good. So yeah, for Zach Bennett, this has been a collab. Locked On Wolves, Locked On Bulls. Till next time. So long.
Napa Know How. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How. Napa Know How. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.